In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority, amen. We are studying the revelation of Jesus. This book reveals Jesus to us and what must happen soon as he establishes his rule over all creation as the Lamb. The book is broken up into seven groups of sevens, as we have seen. That first group that we looked at, seven messages to the church, to the seven churches, who will be the bride at the end of the text. Those messages telling the church to stay faithful and repent when you fall off the path. Then the next group of seven, seven seals that were on this scroll that was in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. This scroll represented God's salvation and judgment and kingdom plan. But the scroll was sealed with the pattern of human history. And it was only the Lamb who could remove these seven seals. And as those seals were removed, we saw the pattern of human history. Conquering rulers, fighting soldiers, taking businessmen, and dying in death as disease, war, and famine ravage the earth. And we saw the faithful under the altar begging God to bring his judgment, but God holding back the judgment so there was time to repent. And then there was silence from God as he continued to wait. And then as we moved forward, we had seven trumpets revealed, and we were told these were the answers to the prayers of God's people. That now he was beginning to bring judgment. As fire burned on the earth, the sea was filled with blood, the rivers were poisoned, darkness filled the sun, moon, and stars. And then as the rulers of the earth began to torment the people. And then in that seventh trumpet was blown, the kingdom of God arrived. So here we find ourselves in the middle seven of the book of Revelation. The seven signs of this kingdom. Last week, we looked at the first two signs. The first sign was the woman, the bride, trying to give birth to Jesus, but being chased down by a dragon. The dragon was Satan, the devil. And she was being tormented, but Satan was not strong enough. He was thrown out of heaven to the earth to ravage the earth. Then in the second sign, we saw how Satan begins to ravage the earth. Satan creates a monster. This first monster connected to Daniel 7, we know exactly what it is. It's the nation, the kingdom, the empires of this world. This first beast comes up, and what does it do? It makes war on those who are faithful. And our text continues this morning with the third sign, Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another monster, another beast. This time, as we see how this relates to the first beast, at my interpretation, this is the government supporting the nation, the first beast, which is clear from Daniel 7. Saw another monster, the government, coming up out of the earth, the material realm. And it had two horns like a lamb, but it was speaking like a dragon. This second monster, this second beast, later in Revelation will be called the false prophet. Why? It looks like the lamb. But how does it speak? On behalf of the dragon, Satan himself. The governments of this world pretend to be lambs. They pretend to be doing good, kind work. But the reality is they speak on behalf of Satan himself, the dragon. Next verse. It exercises all the authority of the first monster, the nation, on its behalf. So the government works on behalf of the nation. And we saw earlier the nation got its power from Satan. The government causes the earth and all those who dwell in it to bow down to the nation. When you worship the nation, who are you worshiping? Satan, whose plague of death was healed. And so the government's role, the second beast's role, is to make you worship the first beast, the nation, the kingdom, the empire. The government produces great signs before humans, even making fire come down from heaven to the earth. The government leads astray those dwelling upon the earth through the signs it does on behalf of the nation, the first beast. Which has the plague of the sword, violence, and yet lives. The miracle of the beasts is that they live by the sword. And what did Jesus say? When you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But what happens? These beasts keep getting resurrected. How? Through the power of Satan. But God allows this, as we'll see later in Revelation. Why does he allow the nations and the governments to keep arising? Because they have a purpose in God's grand plan. It tells those dwelling upon the earth to make an image. I interpret this as the politician of the first monster, the nation. The government was allowed to give a spirit to the politician so that the politician might speak and also call those who did not bow down to the politician of the nation to be killed. So the nation brings forth the government. The government supports the nation. Then the government brings forth the politician to speak on behalf of them both. The government, verse 16, forms everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, by giving them a brand. A brand, as you know, with like cattle, is a mark that shows who you belong to. The nation, the government, the politician mark its people with a brand to say, you are mine. A brand on their right hands represent all throughout the Bible, our actions, and upon their foreheads, which represents our focus, our thoughts, our minds. No one is able to buy or sell if they do not have the brand, which is the nation's name or the number of its name. And I think if we're discerning readers, we learn that this is money. So this brand, this mark of the monster, is all about total economic control. What's the only way you can buy or sell in our world? When you use money. The appropriate currency, whether it's cryptocurrency now or whether it's the old school currencies, these monies that nations and governments create are the way that we are economically controlled and marked by the nation and government. Here is wisdom. Whoever has a mind must figure out the number of the nation, for the number is of humanity, and its number is 666. The only other place this number shows up in the scriptures is connected directly to Solomon, the most powerful king of Israel. His annual income, money, was 666 talents, which was the equivalent of millions and millions of dollars every year. He was the richest man who ever lived. The number of the beast, the monster, the nation, the government is Solomon's number. It's wealth. It's the wealth of the most powerful and their total economic control of all people, slave or free. Next sign, chapter 14. Then I looked and looked, the Lamb had been standing upon Mount Zion, the real Lamb, not the fake Lamb, the government, that looks like the Lamb but speaks like the dragon. The real Lamb standing on Mount Zion, the Creator's dwelling place on earth. Mount Zion was always where God dwelled in the Old Testament. With the Lamb were 144,000. We saw this earlier in Revelation, the church, having his name, the Lamb's name, and the name of his Father written upon their foreheads, their thoughts and minds. So in contrast to the two monsters, the two beasts that have marked the people of the world with money and economic control, we have the Lamb who marks his people on their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of much water, the voice of great thunderclaps. The voice was like harpists playing music on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne, the four creatures and the elders. But no one was able to learn the song if they were not one of the 144,000, the church, who had been redeemed for the sake of the earth. We saw that God's judgment was coming upon those who were destroying the earth. God redeems these 144,000, a metaphorical number, not a literal one. The church, he pulls them out of this world in order to make them different, in order to save the earth. That is God's whole grand plan, is to save the creation he made in the beginning that he called very good. We have been destroying it, and his plan is to save it. And he calls us, the church, to be agents of that salvation and redemption of the earth. But notice what the church is doing. It's singing a new song, a different song from the song of this world, right? If you remember back in Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar made the great gold statue that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and everyone had to worship, Nebuchadnezzar played music. And at the music, everyone had to bow down and worship the monsters that Nebuchadnezzar had created. But here, the church is singing a new song. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't sing that song of civilization. They sang a new song. They resisted Nebuchadnezzar. They resisted Babylon. They lived as free people who worship the Creator alone. The church, we sing a new song, not the song of this world and its nations and governments. Verse 4, they are those, this church, are those who have not been defiled by other lovers, for they are virgins reserved for the Lamb. So this is spiritual imagery, because we are prepared as the bride of Christ. That's what this group is. They are those following the Lamb wherever he goes. They are those who have been redeemed out of humanity. They are first fruits for the Creator and the Lamb. No falsehood was found in their mouths, and they are without blemish. And this is in contrast to that first beast we saw last week, who all it spewed was blasphemy and lies, one lie after another. The church speaks truth. Sign 5. Then I saw another angel flying through heaven, having the timeless gospel to proclaim those to those sitting upon the earth, to all ethnic groups, tribes, tongues, and peoples. It was saying in a loud voice, "Fear the Creator and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has arrived. Bow down to the one who made heaven, the spiritual realm, earth, the material realm, the sea, the chaotic realm, and the water springs, the sources of life." And then another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Collapsed, fallen, Babylon the Great, civilization itself, as we'll see in much more detail to come, is collapsed. She is the one who gave all ethnic groups a drink from the wine of her passionate prostitution." So we see that imagery before of those standing with the Lamb who are not defiled by other lovers. Now we have the great prostitute, we'll learn a lot more about her, arising. The one with whom people sell themselves rather than giving themselves to God. Then another angel, verse 9, the third one followed these and says in a loud voice, "If someone bows down to the nation and its politician, its image, and receives its brand, money, upon his thoughts or his actions, then he will drink from the wine of the Creator's passion, which has been mixed undiluted with the cup of his anger." So we have three messages. I'll finish that third message in a second. We have three messages that proclaim the gospel. Fear God because his judgment's here. Number 2, civilization itself, Babylon the Great, is collapsed. And she's gotten you drunk on her wine. And third, if someone bows down to the nation, these beasts, and receives its mark, its branding, then they will drink of the wine of God's anger. The wine of God's anger is next week. We'll see all about it. Continuing, this person will be tormented with fire and sulfur before the holy angels, before the Lamb. The smoke of their torment goes up into the ages of the ages. Whoever bows down to the nation and its politician and receives the brand of its name, money, will not have rest day or night. Those who worship the beasts, the monsters, the nation, the government, and money, thinking the nation, the government, and money will give them security. That's why people bow down to the great entities of our world. They think, "I will get security by bowing down and doing what the nation, the government, and money wants me to." But the reality is they will not have rest. Constant anxiety, worry, and emotional and spiritual torment, like we saw back earlier in the seals and trumpets. The patient endurance of the saints is through clinging to the Creator's commands and being faithful like Jesus. The two witnesses that we saw a couple weeks ago, again, God's word in Jesus' example. Verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the ones who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, the Spirit speaks. They will rest from their struggles, for their practices follow after them." Blessed are those who what? Die in the Lord. Not those who manage to keep themselves alive by worshiping the nation, the government, and money, thinking those things are going to protect them. No, they will have spiritual torment all the days of their life and in eternity. But those who are willing to die, lose their lives today, for the Lord will find true rest, spiritual and physical, as we'll see later, as they are raised from the dead. Sixth sign. Then I looked, and look, a white cloud. Upon the cloud was sitting one like a son of humanity, Jesus Christ, having a gold crown upon his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Back to Daniel chapter 7 imagery. When God's people were destroyed by the four beasts and monsters in Daniel 7, destroyed by those kingdoms, nations of the world, what happened? Then we saw one like a son of humanity coming on the clouds. Because guess what? Even though the nation and government destroy the faithful, kill their bodies, what happens? They are spiritually raised and they come on the clouds, vindicated by God. Another angel came out from the temple crying out in a loud voice to the one sitting upon the cloud, "Send your sickle, harvest! The hour to harvest has arrived. The harvest of the earth has become ripe." Then the one sitting upon the cloud threw his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. So this is the first harvest. I interpret this as the faithful being gathered in. Verse 17, another angel came out from heaven. From the temple in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar. That was the place where the faithful who had been killed by the beasts were in God's protection. It had authority over fire. Fire represents refining judgment, purifying judgment. And called out in a loud voice to the one having a sharp sickle, saying, "Send your sharp sickle, gather the grapes of the earth's vine, for its grapes," its unfaithful works, I interpret, "are ripe." So pulling on Isaiah chapter 5, we see this clear imagery where God creates a vineyard. He plants it, and what does he want the vineyard to produce? Good, beautiful grapes that are tasty. But what happens in Isaiah 5? They produce sour grapes of violence and bloodshed and greed, etc. These are the grapes of the earth. God planted us as humanity, as his creatures, to produce good grapes, and we produced sour grapes. And there's a double harvest. The first harvest of the faithful, the second harvest of these unfaithful works. Verse 19, the angel threw his sickle into the earth. He gathered the earth's unfaithful works, these grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of the Creator's passion. The winepress was trampled. So it's a place where you gather the grapes and then you stomp on them and create the juice that turns into the wine. The winepress was trampled outside the city, civilization, and blood, the blood of the grapes, came out from the winepress up to the bridle of horses, so 4 feet high, for 1,600 lengths of a stadium. The point is, the earth has produced an unimaginable large amount of bad grapes. And what is God doing? He's creating a wine, and as we'll see next week, he's going to give us that wine to drink. So these signs, the signs of the kingdom of God, they are the heart of Revelation. And we see that we live in a world, if you haven't noticed, that is ravaged by Satan. He is the one who controls the nations, the governments, all of the economic, monetary stuff that goes on. He uses those monsters, the nation, the government, his politicians, to attack us. And what is his goal? To seduce you into trusting in him. Satan wants you to put his faith in him by trusting in nations, governments, and money, and politicians. He is seducing you, promising that he will take care of you. But he's a liar. He tries to mark you, brand you as his own, brand your actions, your thoughts. So everything you do and everything you think is guided by money. Buy things, consume, politics. He tries to mark you. But the Lamb in the midst of this, we saw standing on Mount Zion with a different group of people singing a new song, a different song, not giving into the songs of this world, but singing the song of the Lamb, a different way of living in the midst of a world that is controlled and ravaged by Satan. We are invited to stand with the Lamb, to be marked by him, and our thoughts and our focus and our foreheads, not marked by the monsters of this world that are only tormenting you and ultimately destroying this earth. And the gospel is proclaimed in this text. Fear God. His judgment is here. You don't have to wait. His judgment is already unfolding. Civilization, Babylon the Great, is already fallen. We'll talk more, a lot more about that. And so don't bow down to these evil monsters that are trying to pull you away from God, trying to get you to prostitute yourself, your soul, your body, with something that is not the Creator who made you and loves you. The grapes that we produce will be trampled into a wine that we will have to drink. What kind of grapes are we producing? What kind of grapes are you producing in your life? If you produce sour, nasty, ugly grapes, they will be trampled into a wine that you will have to drink. You will reap what you sow, Paul tells us. The measure you use against others will be measured back to you. As Jesus says, if you judge, you will be judged in that same manner. What kind of grapes are you producing? Be careful, because you will drink them. Think about your actions, your choices. Don't let the world seduce you into another way of acting to produce nasty grapes that you will end up having to drink yourself. Who marks you? Who are you branded with? Are you branded with the Lamb? Or are you branded with the monsters of this world? Are you marked by the politicians, the political parties, the money, the economics of this world? Or are you marked with the Lamb as one who sings a different song from this world? One who lays down your life, who is willing to die because you know through death you will be saved and you will find true rest. So cling to the Lamb. Stand with him. He is the only way out of this madness. No politician, no government, no nation, no political party is the answer to anything. No amount of money can save you. It is only the Lamb. Stand with him. He has come to you, he has called you, and he wants to mark you again this day in your thoughts, in your foreheads, in your focus to be on him. Be his children. Follow him everywhere he goes. Stop following those other voices that are only going to destroy you. Amen.